on the pastime of Krishna. It's good to see so many of you gathered today, and many of you are familiar because we have seen each other on many occasions actually now. The advent of Krishna actually appears very nicely in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 10th canto, and there a nice description of how Krishna appears, the background is given. Many things can be learned from this pastime, even though we have heard about it so many times. So we can try to take something from there and see how it applies to us in the practical world. Sometimes people become discouraged when we try to take up spiritual life, because very often we may not see the connection between spirituality and being practical in this material world. But once we understand that there is a lot of practicality to what we are doing, and that its basis is very often spiritual, then it becomes so much more appealing and it becomes more attractive. So Kamsa, we know, actually began to oppress the members of the Yadu dynasty. And Kamsa, Bhagavatam tells us, was the son of Ugrasena. By nature, unfortunately, he was always envious. And Bhagavatam tells us that once we have envy in the heart, it becomes a great obstacle to peace. There's a nice shloka in Bhagavatam that says that when a person is envious, he cannot sleep. But the subject of his envy always sleeps well. And that is so true. When we become envious, we find that the person whom we are envious of very often does not bear the brunt of envy. Surprisingly, actually, we bear it. And we become so disturbed. And somehow we find that we can't even tell someone, hey, I'm envious of you, don't like you, because I'm envious. In modern parlance, in proper etiquette of social behavior, that would be frowned upon. So in the end, those who are envious of others, we only have ourselves to sit down with and think of the person we are envious of. You can't even share it with someone whom you love, because it's not a very nice thing to feel. So in the end, what happens is it just festers in you. And that's what happened to Kamsa. Even though he came from a very nice Yadu dynasty, it was a very exalted dynasty. Bhagavatam tells us that he was always envious of someone doing better than him. And Bhagavatam also tells us that the root of envy is actually because of pride. The root of envy is pride. When we believe that we are actually better than someone, or we know something much more than somebody, then if somebody displays something that seems to threaten us, or threaten what we feel or what we think, it's very easy for us to feel envious. And then the symptom of envy is we become critical. And it's one thing to be critical if you're constructive about it and your heart is very open and let's have a good discussion. But it's another thing to become critical to the point where you are criticizing. Then it becomes difficult. And when we start criticizing, you realize that it's very difficult to stop criticizing. So when we are full of criticism in the heart, then we tend to find fault. Anything that can become good eventually becomes bad because of our criticism. So the lenses we wear, you know, they become very colored. So Kamsa was like that. So Bhagavatam tells us one day his sister Devaki was going to get married to Vasudev. But out of a rare moment of affection, Kamsa thought, never mind, let me take the reins of the horse and the chariot and let me escort my sister on the day of her wedding. But as he did that, a powerful disembodied voice in the sky came out and said, foolish one, the person whom you are going to actually, you know, help here, and the sister whom you care for, in her womb, there will be the person who will come and become the source of your destruction. So of course, for Kamsa, that was a very dangerous thing, because he felt that no one should be threatening me, no one should be threatening who I am. And then he got off, and instead of being very nice, which he was just one moment ago, he suddenly changed. And he took out a sword and he was ready to slaughter his own sister, because he felt, well, if I finish her off, then there won't be any child. So why should I worry? And there is a small insertion in Bhagavatam at this point that says that this is the mood of envious persons. Even when they want to be nice to someone else, it's always motivated. And that is why they can change from, you know, son from light to darkness very quickly, because whatever they feel for someone is always based on them being the center. They have to be the axis. So everything has to be an orbit. And if the orbit doesn't work around the axis, then you know it has to be destroyed. So this is what was stated here. So then what happens is Vasudev decides to stop Kamsa and he pacifies him. He stops him, he holds his hand and says, don't do this. And in many shlokas, he gives very nice arguments why Kamsa should not do it now. But Vasudev is looking forward. He's looking forward. So what he does is, he says that, I promise you that since you worry about the child, and the voice specifically says that it is the eighth child, but even if you are worried about, you know, not counting right, or whether it's going to be the first child or the eighth child, or maybe the voice wasn't right, I will give you the facility. You can keep us. I myself will give you the child. So when he said that, Kamsa became more pacified. And for that moment, you know, he let that go. So what happened was after that, the first child was born to Devaki. And his name was Kirtiman. And after Kirtiman was born, Vasudev was such a gentleman that Bhagavatam tells us he actually gave the child to Kamsa, his brother-in-law, and said, I've kept my word. So you have the child now. And all the time he did this so that his wife would be spared. You must not forget that Vasudev and Devaki were great devotees of the Lord. They had been praying and praying to somehow or another receive the Lord in their hearts for a long time. And Bhagavatam tells us in their previous life, they were Kashyap and Aditi. And previous to that, they were Sutapa and Prishni. So in all the two previous births also, they were a very pious and devoted couple. And always in their hearts, they were always remembering and welcoming Krishna. So it was their desire to receive Krishna. So when Vasudev did this, he did this on the basis of great faith. Because he knew that, Krishna, your hand is in this. And what may look negative, because your hand is in this, will somehow turn out alright. This is the faith of a devotee. And this is the faith that carries many devotees through difficult times. Sometimes when we think everything is against us, it can become very discouraging. But for a devotee, when a devotee believes that anything that comes is an arrangement of the Lord, then instead of seeing that everything is totally negative, a devotee tries to see something more positive. So Vasudev had faith that Krishna would come. And he was very sure that according to the prediction, he would come as the eighth child. So Bhagavatam tells us that Vasudev's prayer to Krishna was, Krishna, if Kamsa were to take the first six children, even then I have faith that you will take care of them wherever they are, and that there is an arrangement for that. And we will find out in Bhagavatam that there is. So he had faith. So that's why he gave Kirtiman. But when he gave Kirtiman, for a while Kamsa was pacified. And after that, Kamsa magnanimously said, never mind, you can keep your child. It's all right. But then what happened was Narada Muni came. And Narada is a very powerful devotee of the Lord. Unfortunately, you know, sometimes movie and media make him out to be a troublemaker or whatever, not sometimes a figure of humor. But if you read Bhagavatam very carefully, the reason why Narada Muni travels throughout the three worlds is actually always to broadcast the glories of the Lord. He's a powerful instrument in the hand of the Lord. So what happened at that point is Narada Ji came, and when he comes, he hastened the process of Krishna coming. How did he do that? He told Kamsa that, Kamsa, you're a great burden. And surely the Supreme Lord will come to kill you. You know, only Narada had the gall to say that. And Kamsa, you know, for once could not do anything. And he said that, actually, the Lord is going to come. And the prediction is very powerful. So you have to be very careful. Now, Narada was respected by Kamsa, even though Kamsa was demonic. Because he realized that Narada was actually a very powerful personality. But now Kamsa became very envious, very disturbed. So he thought, maybe I shouldn't be so magnanimous. So what he did was, he recalled Vasudev and Devaki, and he imprisoned them. And then he took the first child, Kirtiman, and he mercilessly killed the first child. And then he set guards outside the prison, and he told them, watch and wait and see. And every time a child comes, let me know. So now Kamsa passed the rest of his days in total remembrance of Krishna. Bhagavatam tells us If he walked up the stairs of his palace, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 8 child of Devaki, he would remember Krishna. Such was his remembrance of Krishna. We walk up 8 steps, nobody remembers Krishna. But Kamsa walked 8 steps and he remembered Krishna. But his remembrance of Krishna was unfailing. That's the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee. A non-devotee's remembrance of the Lord is unfavorable. So therefore, when you remember someone unfavorably, it's very difficult to reciprocate lovingly with them, isn't it? But when you remember someone favorably, then it's very natural for you to remember them. So this point is very important. So Kamsa didn't take a chance. And he decided, let me keep them together. And so, actually, what Narada did was very important. Because the devotees of the Lord are always anxious for the Lord to advent, to come. And when Narada did this, he hastened the process because Kamsa now became alert. And Devaki Mata now became more fearful. Now, Devaki did not become fearful of Kamsa because she didn't have faith in Krishna or the Lord. In fact, when we say that Devaki was fearful of Kamsa, Kamsa in our scriptures represents all that is material in association. Devaki represents all that is spiritual. So our sastras, particularly Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says, this Acharya, very great Acharya, he says that because Devaki was anxious to receive Krishna, she was always afraid of not remembering him. It is very easy to forget Krishna when we are in this material world because the world is full of matter. It's very easy to become distracted. So Devaki was praying intensely that somehow or another, despite all my difficulties, I should keep in focus the advent of the Lord. So she kept praying very hard. So 6 children were born to Devaki. And one by one, they were taken by Kamsa. And each one of them met with a very difficult end. Imagine how painful it must have been for Devaki Mata. And how painful it must have been for Vasudev. They were alone in the prison. They had no one with them. If we were alone somewhere in a prison with no one with us, it's very easy for us to lose faith. Even when everything is going well for us, still it's easy for us to lose faith. Sometimes when things are very nice, it's easier to forget Krishna. When things are very bad, then suddenly it's very easy to remember Krishna sometimes, isn't it? I remember my mother always knew I was sitting for a major exam because suddenly I would chant and chant and chant and do all my japa and read all my sastras. Then she knows, he's sitting for an exam now. So it's like that. But for Devaki Mata, it was a consistent remembrance of Krishna. So finally, the time came for the 7th child to be born. And Lord Krishna then told Yogamaya. Yogamaya is his internal potency. The Lord has 2 potencies, external and internal. External energy is always displayed in this world as Mother Durga. She is a superintendent of material energy. In the internal potency, which operates in the spiritual world, sastras tell us that potency is actually manifested as Yogamaya. So Mahamaya in the material world, Yogamaya in the spiritual world. So Krishna called for Yogamaya and told her, you go to Vrajabhumi, go to Vrindavan, and there you please go and see Rohini. Rohini is a beautiful, wonderful devotee of the Lord. She was one of the queens of Nanda Maharaj. And at that point of time, she was also pregnant. And Krishna then tells her that you please go there and you transfer Devaki's 7th child who is imminent to be born. Transfer that child who is in Devaki's womb into the womb of Rohini. And that is why that child who is born in Devaki Mata's womb actually is known as the child of Rohini. And that's why he is known as Rohini Nandan or Lord Balaram. So then what happened was, when Rohini actually had a child, she thought that the child was actually the child of hers. But Krishna's arrangement was that child would be transferred. And so it was as if the 7th child of Rohini, or rather the 7th child of Devaki, appeared as if it was a miscarriage. So this is how first Lord Balaram appeared in the womb of Devaki and then was transferred to the womb of Rohini. This is also very significant. Lord Balaram's duty is always to serve his brother Krishna. And even though he's elder, his mood is always of the servant of the servant of the servant. This is the mood that we always want to cultivate. And this is a great mood to have in devotional service. Because the truth is, in this material world, we all are regulated by some form of service. Have you noticed that? All our relationships are very often based on the platform of service. Whenever we love someone, the symptom of love is when we serve them. If you love somebody, you do something for them, don't you? That doing is actually serving. But because we are in a material world, we always think of service as something not very positive. But in the spiritual world, service does not mean that you do not have an identity. Service is not a lonely thing. In fact, service is considered the highest form of activity. So therefore, Rohini Nandan, Lord Balaram, his mood was that I've come to serve Krishna. So Lord Balaram is considered to be Sankarshan. Sankarshan means one who is supremely pure. Come. So when Sankarshan came into the womb of Devaki, our sastras tell us that Devaki's womb became even more purified. And that was the purpose of the advent of Lord Balaram. That he always comes to prepare everything for the arrival of Krishna. Sometimes Lord Balaram comes in the form of Seshanag. You've seen the pictures of the great hooded serpent. You've seen the pictures of Lord Vishnu lying on an ocean of milk, and he's lying down on a bed. And that bed is actually a coiled serpent. That serpent is a manifestation of Lord Balaram. And there also the Lord is actually serving Krishna. So here, Krishna's advent, before that, there was purification. Not only in Devaki's heart, but also in her mind and her consciousness. So this is how the seventh child became very special. And now, the eighth child was about to be born. So at that point, Bhagavatam tells us, Krishna, who is the super soul of all living entities, he then decided that he would be ready now to come and be born into this world, so to speak. The word born doesn't really describe the appearance of Krishna. Why? Because Krishna does not come in the form of how we come into this world. In fact, if you read Bhagavatam, it's very interesting how the birth of Krishna takes place. Krishna first manifested himself in the mind of Vasudev. This is important. He came into the mind of Vasudev because Vasudev was meditating on the Lord. It was a very auspicious time. The seventh child had been born and now the eighth child was coming. So both Vasudev and Devaki knew that this child would be very special and he would be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is why Vasudev's devotional service captured the attraction of Krishna. And so Krishna first manifested in the mind of Vasudev, and then he then manifested in the heart of Vasudev. This is very important. So when Krishna manifested in the heart of Vasudev, what did he do? Vasudev then glorified Krishna in his heart. And Vasudev then transferred the form of the Lord in his heart into the heart of Devaki. This is how Krishna came into this world. And this is also very important. Janmashtami is the appearance of the Lord in our hearts. That is the real significance of Janmashtami. For the Lord, there is no need for him to be born. There was no discharge of semen. There was no mixing of ovum and semen, Bhagavatam tells us, in very open language. Why? Because the Lord is not a product of material nature. In fact, material nature comes from the Lord. So that is why when Krishna came, he came first into the mind, and then he was manifested in the heart. Vasudev then initiated Devaki Mata. Bhagavatam tells us, Vasudev initiated Devaki Mata by giving her Krishna, who was in his heart, and she then manifested Krishna from within her heart. And the moment that process was complete, then what happened? Then the full devotional service of Vasudev and Devaki manifested. And at that point of time, Krishna came into this world. And when he came into this world, he did not come in the form of what we see Krishna, in his two-handed form. He came in the four-handed form of Vishnu, in all his glory, in his beautiful robes, in his Kaustubha jewel, in his beautiful earrings, in his wonderful opulent crown, his lotus face, and he appeared. And remember, in the prison, it was very dark. But when the Lord appeared in his four-armed form, Bhagavatam tells us that there was no need for light. because of the effulgence of the Lord. It radiated the whole prison. So, Vasudev's reaction to the Lord when he appeared in his four-handed form is very wonderful. He started giving beautiful prayers. And when he gave those beautiful prayers, he then immediately decided, the Lord has been born. Normally what I should do is I should give thanks that the Lord has come into my life. But what can I do? I'm in shackles. I'm in a prison. I can't give anything in charity. So Bhagavatam tells us, with his heart and his mind, he offered 10,000 cows, 10,000 calves to all the Brahmanas of Vrajinam. This is also an important point in devotional service. The real essence of devotional service does not begin with an action. It actually begins with a sincere desire to serve. When the sincere desire is there, it starts always from the mind. When we want to come, for example, for this program, Vivek Prabhu would have SMS'd us, called us. So what happened was we had a decision there. Should we come, should we not? You know, if I come, well, the good news is there'll be prasadam. That's always a plus. You know, you may have to sit around for a while and listen to him, maybe for an hour. Okay, I can tolerate that. There'll be some kirtan in between, that's not so bad. So all these things would have come through somewhere at some point. And okay, what's our schedule like for this Sunday or this Saturday? So all these things would be there. But based on all this, finally, it is your desire in your heart, right, that makes up the decision of the mind. If the desire in the heart decides, you know what, I desire to know. That desire, which is a feeling, eventually always becomes a willing. That is why Bhishma Dev, another great character of Mahabharata, he always says in Bhagavatam, when one thinks of a thought, the thought becomes transformed into a feeling. When there is enough feeling, then there is the process of willing. If you want to go for a cinema movie, you start thinking about it. Eventually, if you think hard enough, you start feeling for the movie. Hey, I need to see it. I feel like seeing it, you know. Sometimes when you discuss things, husband and wife, do you think we should go there? Yeah, it looks nice, everything looks nice. You know what? I think we should go there. Now, when you start saying, I think we want to go there, then you start saying, I feel like I want to go there, isn't it? So feeling comes next. And once it becomes enshrined in the heart, then Bhagavatam tells us, what happens from feeling is that you become willing. So it's always congruent. That is what happened with Vasudev and Devaki. That's why they received Krishna. And that's practical for us. Sometimes we think, you know, I'm trying to be a devotee, but why is it that I'm always distracted? Because our desire is not fixed. Once our desire from mind to heart becomes fixed, then it's only a matter of time before it becomes transformed into action. This is an important point. So for Vasudev, he desired in his mind to give 10,000 cows. Why? Because he couldn't do it. He was in shackles. But Krishna accepted it. Even though he was in shackles, Krishna accepted it because he was sincere. So the important thing in Bhagavatam is, Krishna is not interested in what you can give in terms of opulence, in terms of riches or wealth. He's never interested in that. What he's more interested in always is your heart. If your heart is sincere about doing something, Krishna will make all arrangements for you to come. It is by the sanction of the Lord ultimately that we are able to sit down. And it's ultimately his sanction also, whether we can come or we cannot. We may desire, but ultimately he sanctions. It's like you want to come into Singapore, you have your passport, that's your desire. But until you get the sanction of your immigration authority, all your desires in the world comes to naught. So if you get their sanction, your desire, the sanction, they become congruent. Then it becomes easy. So that is why devotional service has to start with the desire. What's the desire? And Krishna fulfilled it. Now when Krishna was being born, all the constellations, you've heard of the Navagrahas, you've heard of all the planets in the sky. You know, sometimes when things are not going so good, you go see an astrologer. The astrologer tells you, okay, Rahu is here, Ketu is not there, Guru should have been here, but the time is not good. You know, so sometimes people say, well, my time is not good, that's why I'm not doing well. I know a student friend of mine who didn't do so well in his exams, and his mother was very worried, and he told her, maybe my time is not good. So sometimes we can use that as an excuse for many things. So actually when Krishna was actually appearing in this world, the constellations were not really in order. They were not. But once they realized that Krishna was coming into the world, then all the constellations, they fell in line to make it very auspicious and very magnificent. This is a very important point. Why? Because people sometimes think that Krishna was born because it was an auspicious time. But the real point is, whenever Krishna wanted to come, or whenever he appears, that time is considered auspicious. Because Krishna is not under the rule or the sovereign of the constellations. If Krishna is the source of all material and spiritual worlds, then the constellations come under him. So we have to be clear about that. In fact, if you read up specifically on Janmashtami day, you find that the moon is actually waxing, which means it's not full. But when Krishna was born, on the appearance day of Krishna, if you read all the sastras, you find that the moon shone very brightly in the sky. And how is that possible? Again, the sastras give us the reason. Because Krishna is the creator of everything in this world. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mattaha sarvam pravartate. Because Krishna is the source of all matter and spirit. When Krishna was coming into this world, even the moon became ecstatic. And the moon displayed its fullness instead of showing something else. So all the Gandharvas, all the Devatas, the time became very auspicious. And everywhere the chanting of Hari, 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 Hari was continuing. And at that point of time, Krishna came in his forearm form. So Vasudev offered great obeisances to Krishna. There's another confidential reason why he appeared as forearm form. Because Vasudev's chosen Ishta Devata, we all have Ishta Devatas. His Ishta Devata was the forearm form of Lord Vishnu. So by coming as a forearm form, Krishna affirmed in Vasudev's heart that yes, the Vasudev, you have seen me, you have worshipped me. Now I declare that I have come, the object of your worship and the object of your desire. So that was Krishna's way of confirming that yes, I've come because of your desire. Not because of anything else, because of the sincere desire of a devotee. So once Krishna came, that was Vasudev's reaction. Devaki's reaction was a bit different. Bhagavatam tells us Devaki's reaction was fearful. Why? Like any mother, she was thinking, Lord, you are the eighth child. I have a brother, Kamsa, not very nice uncle. Right? He's just waiting for news that you are born. And the moment he comes, my Lord, he will take you away and he will just do away with you. Now, sometimes people may say, she's such a great devotee of the Lord. Surely she knows that the Lord cannot be vanquished. But then Devaki Mata's mood was the mood of a mother. And mothers, you know, even if something appears logical that your child should not be harmed, even then, mothers will become illogical and say, no, my child should not be at harm. Why? Because this is the motherly instinct. Mother is the last safety net of any child. That's why it's often said that even if a person is a murderer, there's only one person left in this whole world who will still have faith in him. And that's his mother. No one else. Krishna just built it into your DNAs. Why? Because everyone needs someone. And Devaki Mata was that last safety net. And that is why her mellow was so beautiful. She said, Krishna, I'm actually worried now. You please, you know, do something. So what did she tell him? She said, don't be in this forearm form. Because then he will definitely know that you are Vishnu. And he will know the prediction has happened. Can you now appear in a form just like an ordinary child? So maybe he will think, hey, this one doesn't look like Vishnu. This one looks very ordinary. So like that, you know, she was praying to him to please take the form of his two-handed form. But in doing so, she was also confirming another point in sastras, and that is the original form of Krishna is always that beautiful cowherd boy in Vrindavan, in his two-armed form. Sometimes when you see the four-armed form of Vishnu, the mood in which we worship Vishnu is always in awe and reverence. In Vaikuntha Loka, all the residents of Vaikuntha, they worship Vishnu with awe and reverence. But with Krishna, the mood is very different. If you're a child, you can worship Krishna and serve him as a friend. If you are a mother, you can worship him as a child or as a father, fraternal, paternal. If you want to be a servant of the Lord, you can. Arjuna decided, I wanted to be friends with Krishna. So with Krishna, so many different rasas are there. Why? Because Krishna is the fountainhead of all different moods in this world. So what Devaki Mata was asking is for the benefit of all devotees, so that we can all relate to Krishna at some level, and that is bhakti. So when she asked him to become his two-armed form, the Lord, you know, just like an obedient child, he complied immediately. And he became the two-armed form that we see. Now the moment he was born, actually the guard should have notified. But what happened? Vasudev looked out and realized, wait a minute, everyone's sleeping. Suddenly the whole prison had become quiet. And now the Lord speaks to both of them. And when he speaks to both of them, he expresses to them the gratitude for their great service and years of austerity and devotion. He did not say, now I've bestowed mercy upon you by coming, you should be grateful to me. Krishna is so kind that he never expects gratitude, but he expresses gratitude. And this is the mood that Janmashtami should evoke. Janmashtami should always evoke gratitude to Krishna for whatever we have received. Because in this world, if we are not grateful for what we have, we will never be satisfied with what we have. And this satisfaction is the greatest disease in this world. It is so easy to become dissatisfied and just rot away in our consciousness and forget completely how blessed we are, that we have everything, and everything is supplied by the good Lord. The good Lord doesn't count, oh, you're my devotee, you'll get oxygen. No. There are hundreds, thousands, millions of people who don't believe in the existence of the good Lord. Well, they're getting the oxygen too. Many of them are doing better than devotees. So Krishna is very kind. He doesn't see that, you worship me, you'll get some preference, you know. No, there's no bribery in the spiritual kingdom. Krishna is kind to everyone. When a father has 10 children, and you all are parents, can you really differentiate between your children? Your love for each of them may manifest differently, but ultimately they are all your children. But isn't it also not true that that one child in your house who's a black sheep or who's always giving you trouble, that's the child you give a lot of attention to. The ones who are doing well, you know they are loving, you know they're all right. But sometimes they may turn around and say, why is it that I'm doing everything all right, but you're always concentrating your effort on him? But they don't realize until you become parents that our love for that child who's always difficult is actually enhanced by the fact that he doesn't want to come to us, he doesn't want to have faith in us, he wants to just say A when we say B and say D when we say C. In the same way, we may not believe in Krishna, but Krishna has always believed in us, because we are all part and parcel. This is the first words that Krishna expresses in Janmashtami, the expression of gratitude, and that is our Vaishnava culture. We are always grateful for what comes. And after expressing that, he said, now everything will be arranged according to my energy. All you have to do now is just concentrate on me. And that is what he did. In the heart of Devaki and in the heart of Vasudev, they concentrated and chanted the names of the Lord. And when they did that, the shackles of Vasudev went away. They dropped. The doors of the prison opened. And when Vasudev walked out, he realized now that according to Krishna's instruction, he should bring Krishna across Yamuna River and bring him over to the house of Nanda Maharaj. And there do what we call a one-to-one exchange. And bring back the child who is there and bring her back, because it was a daughter, to Devaki Mata. And at that point of time, as Vasudev leaves, Krishna evokes the power of Yoga Maya such that Devaki goes to sleep. And in child labor, Devaki Mata will wake up later unsure of what happened, even though she had offered beautiful prayers at that point of time. This was Krishna's way of protecting her. But now father and son are together. And Vasudev is so anxious, because in his arms are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Person. So he wants to protect him. He walks out in the still, dense darkness of the night, and he sees no one. He comes to the river Yamuna, but there is what we call rain. There is slight roll of thunder, and the rains have increased. Before Krishna came, Yamuna River was already rising, and now she was very full. But when Yamunaji saw that the Lord was going to pass through, Yamunaji decided, I must do what I must do. I am born to serve. Again this point. that we are always born with the propensity to serve. So Yamuna decided, let me part the way so that the Lord and his pure devotee Vasudev can walk through unimpeded. That is why when we have Krishna in our heart, the way Vasudev carried Krishna, then whatever obstacles there are before us, Bhagavad Gita tells us, they go. And even though they may appear to be obstacles, but if we chant Krishna's names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, then it is our experience practically that whatever problems come, Krishna gives us the fortitude to be able to face the problems. Krishna may not take away the problems, but if he took away the problems, we don't grow. But when he leaves the problems and gives us the strength to fortify ourselves against the problem, then we grow. We grow as devotees, we grow as personalities, and we grow to understand who we are in our relationship with Krishna. So Vasudev, he just remembered the Lord, and he had full faith. He saw Yamuna like that, and he thought Krishna would take care of it. And true enough, Yamuna is also a devotee. So she moved, and Vasudev walked across unimpeded. He looked on both sides, and he was amazed how the powerful waters of Yamuna were very gentle on either side. And Yamunaji wanted to touch Krishna, you know. So it was a bit difficult. But Bhagavatam tells us she could do it by allowing the spray from the waves to touch the lotus body of the Lord. And as Vasudev walked through Yamuna, Anantasesh, Lord Balram, he decided, wait a minute, there's no umbrella here for the Lord. And there's water coming down. The Lord has come as a small child. It is my duty again to render service. So that same Sankarshan who has already been born manifested himself again in the form of Seshanam. And he followed giving the hood as a form of shelter for the Lord and his pure devotee. So whoever who actually has Krishna with them, carrying Krishna always in their heart, they are always assured of having Sankarshan also with them. Because wherever Krishna is, Lord Balaram is automatically. And Bala means strong. And Balaram means one who is strong and full in spiritual potency. So you have Krishna, you get the full package. You have all his devotees, you have Lord Balaram, and guess what? You get plenty of prasadam also. Right? So no loss to Krishna consciousness. So finally, Vasudev reached the house of Nanda Maharaj. And there also, to his surprise, everybody was asleep. He was thinking, this is a very sleepy night. Everyone is sleeping. I'm the only one awake with Krishna. And Krishna was a very good boy. No sound, nothing, because it was very important for him to be quiet. Right? So he was very quiet. You know. So when Nanda Maharaj's house was there, Vasudev entered. And there he saw that Nanda Maharaj was asleep. Everybody else was asleep. And Yashoda Mata was there. And he saw a child. So he did as Krishna directed. He placed Krishna there, and now Krishna comes into Vrindavana. And now Vasudev did the greatest sacrifice to actually have the Lord with him, and now to place him in the care of foster parents. And for years and years and years and years, Vasudev and his wife Devaki would never have the great fortune of holding Krishna and seeing him grow up with them, even though they had the greatest fortune of receiving him into this world. This was the sacrifice they did. And years later, Krishna would repay back this sacrifice when he comes back to them. And he would fulfill the desire of his mother Devaki when she asked that, can I see and can I have one time at least some contact with the six children who had to leave my womb in such terrible ways? And Krishna would give her that benediction. And she would not only breastfeed each of her child in the later years, but because Krishna had fed from her, her womb and her breast had become completely purified. And these six children who had to leave the womb in such terrible circumstances, they became liberated because they all suckled Devaki Mata after Krishna had done it. And therefore, what looked like a calamity became a great source of liberation. This is the greatness of Krishna. Whatever obstacles look bad, never become discouraged. This is the whole point of Bhagavatam. When you have a problem, that's one problem. When you become discouraged, you've just added a second problem to your already bludgeoning first problem. So that's why Sastras insist, those who have faith in Krishna, we never lose heart. Devaki Mata did not lose heart, Vasudeva did not lose heart, and he did his service. He brought Krishna into this world on the strength of his bhakti, and now from his heart, he surrendered the Lord at the lotus feet of another great devotee, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mata. And there, Vasudeva would come back. He came back all the way alone. Yamuna River still opened up for the devotee. He came into the prison, he closed the door, and he sat down. And this is the part I like very much. Bhagavatam tells us he put back the shackles and they got locked again. And then he sat back just like a prisoner and he waited for this child who was now there to start screaming. And the moment the child started screaming, the guards woke up. Hey, we went to sleep. But never mind, child just born. They hurriedly went to Kamsa and Kamsa thought, today is the day. I should now finish off this eight child and I will be alright. So Kamsa comes in, grabs the child. Devaki Mata has no recollection of what has happened because by the force of Krishna's internal potency, she became exhausted with the labor of childbirth. And then she became mixed up. Can I really see Krishna in that four-handed form? Was it a dream? And then he became two-handed form, but now I see a child. So this is Krishna's mercy. Vasudeva knew everything. And when Kamsa picked up the child and was about to dash it to the ground, the child slipped from his hands. And there came the great form of Yogamaya. And when Yogamaya came in her great form, what did she say? She actually laughs. And she tells Kamsa, foolish man, the one who is supposed to destroy you has already been born. And he has already appeared in this world elsewhere. And now you are powerless to stop him. And she goes. And Kamsa realized at that point of time that no matter how much elaborate arrangements he had made to somehow or another stop the advent of the Lord, if that does not have the sanction of Krishna, it's not going to work. Not going to work. Because there was nothing devotional in his heart. So this is the final message of Janmashtami. That the appearance of the Lord is not a material birth. There was no child labor for Devaki. There was no going to the hospital and waiting and waiting. There was no need for anything of that sort. As Prabhupada, our founder Acharya, says in one lecture, the birth of Krishna, the appearance of Krishna, was a heart-to-heart affair. Heart-to-heart affair. Meaning, Krishna came from the heart of Vasudeva and went into the heart of Devaki Mata. And that is how we should receive Krishna. So, the advent of Krishna should not end just by receiving Krishna. But after we receive Krishna in our hearts, we have to continue to maintain him there. That is very important. That's the difference between a great devotee and a struggling devotee. A struggling devotee may come for Janmashtami, happy birthday Krishna. And the next day, oh, who's Krishna? But an advanced devotee, once he receives Krishna in his heart or her heart, he then continues the process of devotional service. That is why initiation, the process of receiving Krishna into the heart, is not a one-day affair. Daily we have to initiate this process. Just like daily we are initiating ourselves into brushing teeth, isn't it? Think about it. Every day we have to brush teeth. Do you brush teeth every day? You do, right? Yeah. Hope so. Yeah. We all have to do it. And that's the first thing we do. Because we know we have to do it. Sometimes people say, why is spiritual life so difficult? Every day I have to pray. This is too much. When we tell them, do you bathe every day? We say, of course I have to bathe every day. But the real bathing is actually in the chanting of the holy names daily. Because that bathing is spiritual. This bathing, no matter what you do, eventually your body has to go. Eventually. But spirit never goes. So Prabhus and Matajis, we should never make Janmashtami a ritual. We should make Janmashtami into a lifestyle. And how do we make it into a lifestyle? Very easy. We just have to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Because Krishna is so kind. In Kali Yuga, he has actually come not only in his beautiful murti form, but he has also come in the form of his holy names. We chanted for a while before we started the class. Did you feel the energy of the chanting? It's so transcendental that even if we don't like to chant, somehow or another, at some point you'll find that you will chant. I know of people who refuse to move their tongues. They don't want to chant. No, I don't want to chant. Give them half an hour, give them 45 minutes, give them 1 hour. Eventually they have to chant. Why? Because chanting is transcendental. It's not of this material world. It comes directly from the spiritual world. I always say, if you chant Coca-Cola, Coca-Cola for 15 minutes, you see what happens. First of all, you get tired of Coca-Cola. Second, you get more tired of Coca-Cola because your thirst is not quenched. But I'm saying Coca-Cola's name. But if you chant Krishna's name, you find, I'm not bored. I can continuously chant. Why? Because Krishna, his name, his form, his activities, they're all the same. My name, my form, my activities, they always are different. If you shout for me and I'm in India, I won't appear here. I'll just be in India. But if you shout for Krishna, Krishna can be there. But Krishna is also here, in your heart, on your tongue, as you chant his names. So there is no loss to chanting. That's why we humbly request you. If you really want to accept the spirit of Janmashtami, then Bhagavatam insists, develop a heart-to-heart relationship with Krishna. Don't do it as a matter of ritual. In the same way we love so many things, do not forget where these things have come from. They've all come from his grace. If we know that we are all holding everything that we have only as servitors. You know, a master of the house leaves the house and then the servant takes care of the house. A really good servant takes care of the house as if it is his or her house. But is never illusioned by thinking that this is my property. And when the master comes back, the servant takes professional pride in handing over something in good condition. We do it all the time with our projects, you know, at corporate levels. We take up a project, we manage it, isn't it? We do it so well, but ultimately the company gets all the credit. But it doesn't affect us, because when we hand it over, it's not a matter of promotion, it's a matter of professional ethics and pride. We want to do the best because this is what we've been entrusted with. But we never say, hey, it is my project, now it has to be mine. So in the same way, we must live in this world knowing that nothing belongs to us, but everything belongs to him. But he's so kind that he has given us everything. Therefore, we lack nothing, and we should use our time. We should use our resources. We should use this house, as you're doing. You are using all your time today on a Saturday evening just to sit down and hear about Krishna. Such an amazing use of time will always invoke his blessings. Always. So always remember, there is a vast difference between the birth of you and I and the appearance of God. For one who remembers that, then Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita insist that after our death, we don't have to come back to this material world. But I always tell devotees that sometimes people tell us, I'm not interested in the spiritual world because I don't know what happens to me when I die. And I agree with you. I would rather tell you what happens to you after this. And if you chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, if you read nice Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, or if we simply congregate this way to remember the activities of the Lord, you find this is a life worth living. And it's a life that gives you a lot of peace, satisfaction, and bliss. Jai Sri Krishna Janmashtami Mahosattva. So shall we chant the holy names of the Lord? That's a good way to end today's program. Vivek Prabhu, Nukul Mataji, thank you as always. I know I delayed this trip for many, many, many months. We want to thank all of you for coming together. It's very auspicious that we come and remember Krishna. Now my humble request to you is, when you go back, you carry him in your heart. And daily, in between whatever you're doing, you just start the day with Krishna. Chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Sometimes people ask, after I chant, what will happen? What are the effects of chanting, you know? Yeah, I mean, will my CPF balance increase? Or will my bank balance go up, you know? Will these things happen, you know? But someone asked this question to Srila Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of this great movement, and he answered it very nicely. He said, chanting produces more chanting.
But Guruji, I have a question. So before we conclude the session, I think while the kids are also
in, yes,
I face one basic question from them.
Ah.
What is Bhagavad Gita? When was it said? What was the context?
Mm.
And I think if you can enlighten us there as well, that will help answer some basic questions which the kids may have.
Okay.
And even some of the elders do as well.
Well, the Bhagavad Gita is the Shastra spoken by Krishna. It's a conversation that took place between Krishna and Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Kurukshetra still exists. And historically, historians have ascertained that there was a battle that took place there. So not only is Bhagavad Gita a reality, but the teachings of the Gita are more important. Krishna tells Arjuna that you have to fight this war, which represents the war between the Kauravas and the Pandavas. The Pandavas are what we call the good guys, and the Kauravas are what we call the bad guys. If the kingdom were to fall into the hands of the Kauravas, then for many, many years, the public, the people of the nation and the state, they would suffer under tyranny. But the five Pandavas, they had one qualification different from the Kauravas. They were all devotees of the Lord. Their nature and their qualities were noble, and that is very important. If they came into power, and that power was being denied by the Kauravas over and over and over again, despite all attempts of settlement and peaceful, amicable settlement. In fact, this war was not brought upon and declared by the Pandavas. It was actually historically declared by the Kauravas. Because when Krishna went as an emissary of peace, and he spoke to Duryodhana and told him, these five Pandavas, give them one village each. That's all you need to do. Because by nature they are Kshatriyas. They will have to rule something. But Duryodhana famously denied that. And he said, not even an inch of the tip of the hair of a person would I part with. And this is the real message of the Gita. Duryodhana thought everything belonged to him. But by the end of the war, he was left with nothing, including his life. Even his life was gone. At the end of the war, the only thing that was left was the awesome power of spirituality, the awesome power of dharma, because the dharma that was present on Bhagavad Gita, on the premise of Bhagavad Gita, was the point that while we do acts and duties which we think suit us, or we do it because I feel like doing it, Arjuna also felt the same way. He didn't want to fight because he felt, why should I fight? But it's only when Krishna starts speaking the Gita and tells him that there are higher things in life than just what you want. For example, if you want to do something and father says, no, you should not do it. Father probably knows why you should not do it in the long term. I want to eat ice cream every day. Imagine what will happen to you. The whole week you'll be on MC because you can't go to school. Of course you would like it. But father will say it's not good for you. So in the beginning, many things that we think are good for us ultimately don't help us. So Krishna told Arjuna, you take up this battle, but don't take it up on your whim and fancy. Take it up because it is my instruction. And because I have a helicopter view of what is right and what is wrong. So the Gita is really about doing the right things at the right time and knowing what is right from the right source. That's the best summary I can give you of the Gita in a minute or two. If I did anything more, I won't be able to go back to the other program. But thank you, Prabhu. It's always important to remember the Gita because the speaker of the Gita is the reason why we are here speaking about Janmashtami. So it's a beautiful tie-up. Thank you very much. Okay, call the kids now. We chant Krishna's names. 10 minutes. I want everyone to chant as loudly as you can. Don't worry about whether you're a good singer, bad singer. How many of you are bathroom singers? At least we have some. Are you a bathroom singer, Prabhu? No? Don't worry. Even if you can sing or you can't sing, it doesn't matter. Krishna is never interested in how your voice sounds. He's more interested in how your heart sounds. Yes. At the same time, while we chant Krishna's names, we will perform an aarti for the Lord. So it's a very auspicious day. And auspiciousness means that we chant Krishna's names. And how do we chant it? We chant it with as much love and devotion. What should our prayer be when we chant Krishna's names? That's another question everyone asks. Actually, the mantra gives the clue. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. The mantra means, that we are invoking the spirit of service, the internal potency of the Lord Srimati Radharani, and we are asking her, please always keep us engaged at the lotus feet of Krishna in devotional service. So one thing I'll ask you to watch, when you start chanting very nicely, you find something happening. Suddenly you will have opportunities to serve Krishna. When the opportunities come, don't deny them. It's like you just call the guest to come over and then you say, I think you have to go home now. When you chant Krishna's names, Krishna always gives you opportunities to connect with him. So when it comes, take it. And then you will find that you are actually having a heart-to-heart relationship with the Lord.
Deviki Nandan Prabhu ki
jai!
Jai Shri Prabhupada, Shri Guru Dev ki
jai!
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Radha Shyam Sundar. Jai Shri Lata Gopal. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna,
Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna,
Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
You're very soft.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Jai Shri Ram.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Bol.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Hari.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Shri Radha Shyam Sundar Ki.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare
Jai Shri Shri Radha Shyam Sundar Ji Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan Ji Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Govind Ji Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Ji Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Madhav Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Neela Madhav Ki Jai Shri Rukmi Dwarkadish Ki Jai Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadramai Ki Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nithai Ki Jai Shri Prabhupada Jai Shri Gurudeva Shri Krishna Janmashtami Mahosarva Ki Ananda Kodi Vaishnavinda Ki With my Gaur Thank you again Vivek Prabhu and Mataji Thank you and thank you all of you You've been a very patient tolerant audience and no doubt very sincere devotees Always remember that our meeting is not accident. It's always arrangement. On that basis, then everything that we do becomes meaningful. I'm so happy to see so many children, and I'm so happy to see that they are all so quiet. It's amazing. For children to be quiet, it's something else. It's their nature not to be quiet, so normally we don't expect them to be quiet. But you've noticed one thing. When they are young, they take to chanting and to Krishna very easily. I've had babies coming to the center and the louder the kirtan becomes, the more sleepy they get. And sometimes you think, wait a minute, this is not proportionate. But it is because, you know, they have heard the holy names of the Lord. If you read Bhagavatam prayers, the chanting of the Lord's names, it has an amazing effect on children when they're in the wombs of their mothers. These children are our future. This Vedic culture is so precious. It will give them the fortitude to be able to withstand whatever life gives them. So the real investment for us is to give them this devotion. And the only way they will do it
is when they see you doing it. You know how children are. You watch TV 24 hours a day and you tell them, hey, you should be chanting Krishna's name, not going to work. Because they are so quick, they'll tell you, these are the days you've been watching TV. You tell them to use a particular language, they'll tell you, on this day, you use this word. Very difficult. Their minds are very sharp. That's why the best preachers of Bhagavatam are the practitioners of Bhagavatam. Before we talk of other people's garden, our sastras say that you make your garden in order first. Then when your neighbor looks at the garden, and then you can talk about his garden. And sometimes you don't have to say anything. Just by people seeing, hey, this is very nice, you have a peace about you, you're doing nice. So just by practicing these wonderful signs, you become the best ambassador to a better life. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Now we have to run.
Please have some.
I have honored prasadam for 2 hours. I'm very happy. But yes, I would insist all of you also honor prasadam. Okay? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for making time for us.
No, always so. Happy. Prabhu, please take something.
Vivek Prabhu, very nice to see you. Very nice to have everyone over.
We hope you will be able to again find time for us.
I should. You chase me, Prabhu. Sometimes you have no choice. You have to just chase me.
I will do that, Prabhuji.
Sometimes I'm busy, but if you chase me, I will help you.
Thank you so much, Prabhu.
That's all. No find time for us. Yeah. So I should do it. It's my defect. We work out something.
You are so busy, Prabhuji. You have so many things to carry on. So
I brought somebody.